this is Dr. Bob Evans, and welcome to our podcast, Parental Alienation from Couch to Courtroom and Beyond. We will discuss the resisting and refusing dynamic, commonly referred to as parental alienation, how you'll know it's happening in your case, and what can be done about it. Parental alienation can cause stress and trauma in high-conflict cases. These podcasts focus on how attorneys and mental health professionals can support families and children. Welcome to what appears to be episode 18, but it's really an announcement about how we're going to be at a conference in Colorado this June. The PASG conference is going to be held at the university in Colorado Springs. And we are going to do a pre-conference workshop on Friday the 16th. That'll be from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3. We being Dr. Bone and I, Kelly Baker and Amy Eichler. Amy and Kelly are going to be talking in the afternoon about doing therapy with alienated children. And Dr. Bone and I are going to be talking in the morning about, well, essentially what mental health professionals typically don't learn or don't get exposed to when they're in graduate school about this phenomenon of parental alienation and what to worry about. So if you want more information about the PASG conference, go to pasg.info and you can register for their conference, which is over the weekend. You can go to the naopas.com website to register for the pre-conference workshop, which is called Therapy with Families in Divorce, What You Did Not Learn in Graduate School. Let me emphasize that this is a program or a workshop that is for mental health professionals, mental health counselors, marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, psychologists, etc. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about things like clinical services versus forensic services, which is a big category of information that people typically don't learn about, and they learn by the school of hard knocks on what they can do and what they shouldn't do. We talk about the characteristics of alienation. We talk about the estrangement phenomenon versus alienation, and to make that kind of distinction and help mental health professionals differentiate between those two. We talk about a misplaced advocacy phenomenon, which happens very frequently in these cases. In other words, when a favored parent typically brings the alienated child to their services, they don't let them know the whole story. And so the mental health professional actually becomes an advocate for the alienated child and the favored parent and finds themselves really getting into a potential jam because they didn't look at this case as a potential alienation case. They looked at it as a typical mental health counseling kind of a case. We talk about biases, what to look for, how to know they're going on. Problem with biases, of course, is that they're not subconscious. You don't think about them, and you think, well, you're not really doing those things. But sometimes you do them, and you do them unconsciously. We talk about how suggestible children are, and how they can be very convincing to a mental health professional when they get into their offices and telling them how neglectful and abused they've been at the hands of the alienated parent. We are not making a case that every kid that comes in and talks about being abused is not telling the truth, but we are saying, hey, look, let's look at some signs and symptoms that you need to take a consideration of before you jump into the abuse category. We talk about confidentiality, we talk about releases of information, and so it's a good introduction for 3 hours, if you will, that Dr. Bone and I are doing from 9 to 12 to talk about not only the symptoms of parental alienation, but also some of the emotional dynamics that children who are alienated bring to the situation that become very kind of subtle tells about what may be going on. We know, for example, that children who experience parental alienation really frequently present with feelings of anger, hostility, very complex emotional symptoms. And these need to be interpreted not just on the surface in terms of, well, here we have a child who's very angry, and so if the child's angry, therefore there must be a reason. And so the next thing you know is you're going down this rabbit hole of reinforcing the notion that this child is angry at a parent for some rational, justified reason. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is when these children come in and they talk about situations with their hated, rejected parent, that they don't really have a lot of details. They can tell you that they're angry with the child, and that the alienated parent is always angry. You know, I have cases where they say the only emotion in he or she's ever shown is anger, and how they outbursts, and from the minute they walk in the door to the time they go back to bed, that's all they do is yelling and shouting, and you know, sounds like some sort of bedlam situation. Well, and then you try and drill down and say, well, okay, tell me more about that. Tell me some more information about that. They can't, because they don't have any. Actually, I had one case, and it was really interesting. One case, the child actually said, you know, my parent abused me. And you say, well, tell me more about that. And the child says, well, I can't. My mother didn't tell me any more about that. So, and children will make those kinds of slips. So we know that these children that display these kinds of emotions, that they're experiencing an underlying feeling of confusion and pain more often than not, and they're trying to hide those emotions from other people. It's very difficult to sometimes ferret out the alienation, and these children basically have a lot of difficulty with decision-making, expressing their emotions openly so that professionals can at least get to the make a therapeutic connection with these kids to help them. There's some research that talks about how the risks of the potentially emotional damage to children and families when counselors are not familiar with the dynamics of not only high conflict divorces, because we hate that terminology, high conflict. It is an implication that both parents are at the root of this whole thing. And yeah, in some cases that's true, but in many, many more cases, that's not the case. It's usually one parent that's primarily behind the scene, pulling the strings on the child. Alienated children are not likely to discuss with a counselor or therapist the negative emotions that they're provided by the favorite or alienating parent. And so a counselor is going to not be able to recognize that the child's being affected by that kind of behind-the-scenes phenomenon. So we're going to cover these kinds of things. We're going to talk about maybe the potential effects of this whole process down the road for children in terms of what they're going to morph into in terms of adulthood. Basically, there's a lot of intense feelings of anger and hostility and basically these can frequently morph into emotional dysregulation, angry outbursts. Sometimes these children are going to act out in a very exaggerated way in the presence of therapists. And that behavior frequently gets misinterpreted by a counselor or a therapist. So it's kind of important then for mental health professionals to really, really well grounded in this area. I have a close friend of mine who's a professor of clinical psychology at a local university here in the Tampa area. And they do not cover the topic of parental alienation. And they just move on to the whole thing. And so you are producing clinical psychologists in this country who are not getting educated in this topic, only what they may learn down the road. And a lot of misinformation is out there about this topic. And we're trying to correct that, if you will. So it's really important for therapists and counselors to have a very clear understanding of a child's emotional world in order for them to provide treatment and for that treatment to be successful. They need to not only be familiar with parental alienation, but they need to be able to look at ways to interpret the severity of a child's symptoms and be able to design a course of treatment or action for these kids. So this is a really important thing. And what these therapists find themselves in is they find themselves into a legal situation, not being trained in it, not knowing how to behave relative to courts, what they should do or shouldn't do. And sometimes they can get themselves into a license bind as well as perhaps even civil lawsuits. So that's really important. And we're seeing that there's more and more of a marriage of mental health professionals with the legal system, and that's happening at a greater frequency. And it's really important for professionals to really understand what's how to work in that world, because it can be confusing. Certain things that counselors should be doing when somebody comes into their office: observe a child with both parents, ask to speak to both parents. Now, what you will find frequently is that the favored alienating parent doesn't want that other parent involved. And so if a mental health professional says, well, you know, I should contact mom or I should contact dad just to get their side of the story and see what's going on, you're going to find that that parent frequently will move on to another therapist who won't do those things. So it's really important. So I don't want to beat a dead horse here. We're going to talk a lot about a lot of things in terms of what mental health professionals would perhaps be better off doing, be more helpful to families who are experiencing this phenomenon. And so what I want to do is, again, invite everybody to go to the pre-conference, if mental health professionals, to go to the pre-conference, and that would be at naopas.com. And you will be able to see a flyer for our program, and you can be able to sign up right there. And if you want to go to the general conference, and that's open to anybody, actually, mental health professionals, parents, anyone who wants to come, that would be pasg.info, and you can register and sign up for that program too. And again, it's in Colorado. It should be a lot of fun, and maybe we'll see you there. So thank you very much, and you all take care. Talk to you soon, I hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. For more information on this topic, please visit www.drbovans.com or www.naopas.com. We offer classes for both legal and mental health professionals to help educate them on the signs and strategies of parental alienation and how to move forward for a healthier environment for the children of divorce. Please visit www.naopas.com and sign up for our courses and use coupon code PODCAST for a 50% discount.